Thanksgiving. Hope you enjoyed time with family and friends and had a little to no drama. I don't know if a holiday really exists without a little bit of drama. It's kind of good. It's always fun. Sit back and watch. But hopefully you had a great Thanksgiving and really enjoyed that time together. For those that may not know me or this is your first time here, my name is Andy Driscoll, and I'm the youth pastor here. Jamie, our lead pastor, is taking the week off, enjoying Thanksgiving and holidays with his family. So he'll be back next week. So I'm excited to get to hang out with you all this morning and be able to share and hang out. So as we wrap up this five-week series, Love and Marriage. So I appreciate you all being here, and hopefully you can take a little something home with you, and it'll be a great time. So let's go ahead and jump into this. So over the past 4 weeks, Jamie has passed along some really exciting and just great knowledge pertaining just to all types of relationships. He's talked about topics such as getting unstuck in whatever relationship you're in. If you're stuck in a relationship, getting out. How to get unstuck. How to fix your spouse. Lord knows God, Jen needs that. Because I'm a mess and I need to be fixed a lot. So she's got to figure out how to do that because I'm not fixing myself. It just doesn't work right. But he talked about how to protect a solid marriage. So when you have that solid marriage, how do you protect that? How do you keep moving forward and sustain that? And then last week, as he had every guy's attention in the room for the entire message, might be the first time ever that, you know, maybe no one dozed off or whatever, while he was answering the greatest sex question ever. So he kept everybody's attention with that. So if you happen to miss any of those weeks or you missed all of them, definitely go back to our website or get on iTunes and you can check out our podcasts of those messages. There's fantastic messages and it'll really benefit your relationships. Again, whatever, whether it's a dating, marriage, friendship, family, whatever. They're fantastic messages, so check those out. So in this fifth and final week of this Love and Marriage series, I'm going to be talking to you today about Young Love Revisited. Young Love Revisited. We're going to be looking at that and going kind of back to where that relationship began. Anytime you look at young love, it's exciting. That fresh relationship, it's new, it's passionate. And if there's people around you that are in a new relationship and maybe you're not in a new relationship, it can be maybe a little annoying and, you know, because they're kind of like all over each other and it's kind of gross. But it's exciting and it's that relationship's alive and it's thriving. And as I was thinking about how I could explain this to you all and help you to understand and have that visualization of a young, fresh, new relationship, I thought to myself, what better way to do that than to give some real-life examples, to give you some visuals? So I did a little homework throughout the week, and I contacted a few people, and I was able to get some pretty amazing pictures of some people within our church when they were young. So here we have the Beelers. Hopefully you all know the Beelers. I saw them out there. Are they in here? TJ, when was this? 2001, look at that, beautiful, what a nice couple, look at it. All right, move on to the next one. I've seen TJ enough, look at that, that's absolutely amazing right there. Look at those suspenders, that's amazing. How could Sarah resist that? It's just impossible, that's truly amazing. Go on to the next one. All right, Steven, look at that hair. Yes, he did have hair, and he is a little bit of a ginger. So, all right, Daniel Henderson, he kind of jacks up my whole message here because he doesn't look happy at all, okay? But Daniel was in the first service, and what you all know about Daniel is he went to Portland Christian, and he's kind of a rock star there, so he probably had paparazzi all the time. He's probably just tired of getting pictures taken, so we won't hold that against him. But that's Daniel back when they were in high school. Next, the Wilsons, mouthful of braces. I think he said he looks like he's about 12. She looks like a nice young lady, you know? Young love, there it is, right there. Move on to the next one. There it is, Jamie J in all his glory. Look at that, T-shirt tucked in. Look how happy they are. Fantastic. I got one more for you with Jamie. Check it out. If Crystal wasn't there, probably most people wouldn't have known that was Jamie. Nice tie, got the Dockers going on, the pleated Dockers. What a fashion guru right there. All right, let's get this going. Next. That Letterman's jacket, that's great, isn't it? I got the Jersey Shore hair going on, too. All right, I got one more. The real Slim Shady, please stand up. How awful is that? Let's be honest. And I don't know if you noticed my baseball glove behind my arm. I'm trying to push my bicep up because I don't have any muscles. So I was trying to make me look big, but it didn't happen. Get that off the screen. That's awful. But those are some pictures. Those are some visuals of young relationships. There's some common themes that we see in all those pictures, except for Daniel. He's the outlier, but he's a rock star, you know, paparazzi, whatever. But there's a theme that we see there, and that's that there's passion. They're excited to be with each other. They're smiling. There's physical touch. They're close to each other. They want to be with each other. There's excitement. There's energy. So it's trying to figure out how we go from those pictures, that fresh, new, young relationship that I'm sure we all have some type of pictures that we can go back to whenever you look back at that relationship. But how do we go from there all the way to sometimes that resentment, that anger, that frustration, becoming complete strangers where you really don't even care to know each other anymore, and there's just so much distance? How do we get to that point? How do we go from that young love that's exciting and energetic to just anger, frustration? And there's all kinds of reasons this happens. Maybe it's that you've focused absolutely everything that you have into your kids, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but you neglected your relationship. And when they grew up, 18, 19, 20, moved out of the house or moved on to college, you're sitting at the table across from each other and realize that you don't even know who each other are anymore. You don't know anything about them because you've not invested in that relationship. Or maybe that you have invested everything into your career and you've neglected those personal relationships in your life. Or that maybe you've just been dating or married for several years now and you slowly start to take that person for granted. You just assume that they're always going to be there and you don't really put anything into it and you just, you know, just assume that they're going to be there and you take them for granted. Or maybe it's just a communication issue and there's just, you're just not on the same wavelength, or there's just no communication at all, and it just breeds frustration. And every time you start to talk, they don't understand you, you don't understand them, and it's just a frustrating situation. But whatever the reason, over time, if those things aren't addressed and those things aren't dealt with, they have the ability to totally wreck your relationship, destroy your family and your marriage. That has that potential if we don't deal with it. But yet at one point in time, there was excitement, there was love, there was passion. For you, it was all about them. And for them, it was all about you because it was exciting. But somewhere down the line, something changed and it slowly began to fade and it just got stale and stagnant. In Matthew chapter 24, we see Jesus talking to his disciples, and he was telling them about some things that were to come. And he speaks directly to this topic of love. And he says this in verse 12. It says, "Sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold." He shows that the love is potentially going to grow cold. And we see this far too often. We see it in our workplace. We see it with our friends around us, maybe. And unfortunately, we see it far, far too often within churches where that love grows cold. But it doesn't have to be this way. It doesn't. And what I want to challenge you today, whether your relationship is pretty solid and you're pretty comfortable with it and you're in a good direction, or whether it's maybe just a little rocky and you have some things that you need to tweak here and there, or if it's just completely damaged and you feel like there's no hope. Regardless of your situation relationally, I want to challenge you to go back to the start. Just like the song that Stephen and the band just played here a minute ago, we need to go back to the start, back to where it all began, to that passion and excitement, the newness, all the reasons that we came together in the first place. Go back to the start. And obviously, depending on your situation, that may be much easier said than done. but I want to give you a few simple things that I think will help as you kind of navigate those waters and going from where you're at to getting back to the start. So let's look at some of these things. So the first thing is that you have to take ownership. You have to take ownership of where your relationship currently is, the current condition of that relationship. You have to own it. You can go and put on that mask and you know, play the game and act like everything's okay. Put on that front when you come to church or when you go out with your friends. But if you're not honest with yourself, it benefits you nothing. And it's really just pushing you further and further apart. And you're not going to be able to get back to that point. So you have to take ownership of where you're at. If your relationship is going great, then that's fantastic. Then own that. Be proud of that. If your marriage is, or relationship is a little rocky, then own it. Figure it out and get back to the start. But until you own it together and you realize that there's a problem and you say, you know what, we have a problem, we're stuck. Until you can do that, you're not going to be able to move forward. So the first thing that we have to do is we have to own our current relational condition. And additionally, along with that, you have to own the role that you played in getting the relationship to that point. And that's definitely not an easy thing. None of us like to look at ourselves and say, you know what, we messed up, or maybe we're wrong here. But when you're trying to get back to the start, that blame game has no place. It doesn't fit in. You can't start blaming each other. When you're getting back to the start, you have to both work together and realize that probably, most likely, you're both at fault to some degree. You know, whenever there's a healthy and thriving relationship, both parties are taking an active role in that success. It takes two. And it's the same thing in an unhealthy relationship. I'd venture to say that there's rarely, if ever, a relationship of any kind that's in distress where only one person is to blame. And it's easy sometimes to point the finger at that one person that maybe their flaws might be a little more out in the open or a little more public, and we want to point the finger and cast the blame. But we have to own our piece as well. So you have to own where that relationship currently is and own your piece in getting it there. You have to take ownership. The second thing is that you have to take time to investigate. You got to do a little self-reflection, an investigation, figuring out how you got to where you're at. What were those contributing factors that led us from point A to point B? You got to do that investigation. You got to look back at the things that you did in the beginning of that relationship that maybe you're not doing now. And then you got to look at those things that you're doing now, currently, that maybe you need to stop doing. You know, Jen passed off, my wife, she passed off this blog that she read this week, and it was written by a guy that was recently divorced, and the title of this blog was 16 Ways I Blew My Marriage. And in this blog, he listed out 16 things not to do in a marriage. And this is all from his personal experience. And all 16 things fell into those two categories, whether it be something that he used to do in a relationship that he had stopped doing at some point in time, or things that he was currently doing that he needed to stop. You know, he talked about things that he used to do, simple little things that he had stopped, like holding hands, or just, you know, randomly walking in the door and greeting his spouse with a kiss, or, you know, having fun, you know, heaven forbid we have fun together, you know, having fun with each other, or attending events of things that she was interested in, or cooking for, just little simple things that he did during that time of dating and early on in their marriage that he just at some point in time stopped doing. And then he listed some of those things that he was currently doing that needed to stop, like pointing out her weaknesses, or arguing in front of the kids, name-calling, pressuring each other, and yes, even pooping with the door open. That's gross. Hopefully y'all don't do that, but if you do, stop. Don't do that. It's not helpful at all. But there was things that he was doing that he needed to stop. And unfortunately for him, he didn't do this investigation until it was too late, until it was all said and done. Don't wait until it's too late. Do that investigation now. Take ownership of where you're at in your relationship. And once you can understand that and come to terms with that, what your role is in that, then start investigating. How did I get here? How did we get here? What do I need to do differently? Or what do I need to start doing again? And then once you can do those things, the third and final thing is that you have to take action. You got to create a plan, and you have to press play. You have to take action. And for some of this is the most challenging and most difficult piece, because we can have that head knowledge. We can know, you know what? I screwed up here. This is my fault. This is my bad. I own this. This is where we're at. This is how we got here. But I'm not doing anything because it's too tough. It's too difficult. Because it makes you have to change. You have to do things differently. And that's not easy. There's going to be habits that are going to need to be broken. There's going to be trust that is going to need to be rebuilt that may take a long time. There's going to be forgiveness that needs to take place. I don't know what action steps each and every one of you need to take in your relationships, but you have to take them. You have to identify them and press play. You got to take those steps. And that's for you to figure out. I can't do that for you. But one thing that I do know, if there's any hope at all for you to revive that relationship, or if there's hope that you're going to continue in this great relationship that you currently have or this great marriage that you have, if you're going to be able to continue on with that, God has to be the center of that relationship. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. God has to be in the center. For you to be able to take ownership, to be able to do that investigation and take action, God has to lead point. He's got to run point for you on this because it's tough. And there's going to be things that are going to come and try to sideswipe you and get you off your game and get you off track. There's going to be frustrations and failures, and God has to run point for you. But in order for him to run point for you, two things have to occur. One, first off, and most importantly, you have to have a relationship with him. You have to have accepted him as your Lord and Savior, invited him into your life. Place your faith and trust in him. You have to have that foundation, that relationship with him. And then secondly, that relationship has to thrive. It has to be healthy. And we can very easily fall into that same trap and find ourselves in that same boat that we're in our relational lives, our personal relationships. We can find ourselves in the same boat with God to where we've lost that passion. And we've lost that love for him that we once had when we first accepted him. And we see this examples of this through scripture. In Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 2, God tells Jeremiah he says, go and shout this message to Jerusalem. Then he goes on and tells him what to say. He says, I remember how eager you were to please me as a young bride long ago, how you loved me and followed me even through the barren wilderness. Notice the word choices, what he says. He said, how eager you were to please me and how you loved me, indicating that that passion and that love is gone, no longer exists. And then again in Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 and a little bit of verse 5, when God says this, he says, but I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. Look how far you have fallen. Turn back to me and do the works you did at first. That love grew cold. It can happen in our personal relationships, our dating relationships, our marriages, our friendships, and it can also happen in our relationship with Christ. Maybe your relationship with Christ isn't where it used to be, and you need to get back to the start. When you first accepted him as your Savior, you were excited, you were passionate, you were digging through his word, you were learning something new every day about him, and you were spending time in prayer every day, and you were invested in that. But somewhere along the way, it grew cold. It became stagnant. And God is telling you, you don't love me like you used to. Look how far you've fallen. But the great thing is he didn't stop there, and he gives us a challenge to come back to me. He's essentially saying, go back to the start. Go back to where it all began. And in order for us to do that, we, again, have to take ownership. where we are in our relationship with Him. Maybe that's that you used to come to church every time the doors were open. And then somewhere along the way, you slowly started sliding out. You started missing here and there and missing here and there. And next thing you know, you haven't been in church for years. And maybe this is your first time stepping foot back into a church. Or maybe you're listening on the podcast right now and you're still not back. And you're slowly just kind of checking some things out online. But regardless, you have to own that. It's okay. Just own it so you can move forward. Or maybe you come to Life Point Church every week and you serve out in the kids ministry or on the greeting team or in the youth ministry or somewhere at some capacity you serve here. But as soon as you hit that door and get to your car, that's it. That's the extent of your relationship with Christ. It goes no further. You're not in the Word. You're not talking to your coworkers about how amazing He is and what He's done in your life, and how He's rescued you and changed you. You're not talking about it in your home. This is the extent. And if that's where you're at, own it. Okay? Don't pretend that it's not that bad. Just own it so that you can move forward. And once you've owned that, then you've got to investigate. How did I get here? Didn't happen overnight. There was passion at one point in time. So how did I get to this place? What is holding me back? What is stepping in between my relationship with Christ? What's that wedge between me and Him that keeps me from loving Him like I once did? Maybe it's just simple priorities. Maybe they're just all out of whack and you're putting everything before Him. Maybe is there some certain sin in your life or there's something going on that you know is not right. You know doesn't glorify Him, but you kind of tuck it off to the side. You want to keep it close to you, just right here on my side, and I don't want to get right. I don't want to get rid of it. And it's stopping you from having a relationship with God, and it's creating this flat, non-existent, just existence. But you have to investigate and figure that out. And once you've done those two things, that's when you take action. Once you've found the root of the issue that's led you to where you currently are, take those necessary steps to get back to the start. Be bold enough to act. Don't just know it, do it. And the amazing thing is no matter how far you've fallen or how many steps it's going to take you to get back to that start with your relationship with God, He loves you the exact same, if not more, than He did when you accepted Him the first time. When you came to Him and poured your life into Him and allowed Him to pour His life into you. He loves you no more, no less at this very point, no matter how far you've gone. And He's just waiting for you to say, you know what? I'm coming back. I'm coming back to the start, and I'm going to love you like I once did. You know, I had the amazing, amazing opportunity about a month ago where I was reading my daughter, my five-year-old daughter, Amelia, a story at bedtime. And, you know, we started with some Bible story we were reading, and she started asking some really good questions, some tough questions that I really had a tough time answering because, you know, who wants to tell their five-year-old about hell? But she was asking questions, so I started answering them as honest as I could. And we were talking, and I was able to share the gospel with her. And while I was in the middle of it, she threw her little finger up and did like this and just kind of interrupted me, shut me up real quick. She's pretty good at that at times. She threw that finger up, and then she just closed her eyes and just started mouthing something, whispering something. And then she looked up at me with just bright eyes and just the biggest, cheesiest smile you ever saw. And I said, what was that about? And she's like, I just asked Jesus into my heart. And just to see those eyes and to see that passion and that excitement firsthand, it made me realize that I forgot that feeling. I forgot that emotion. And then she immediately asked me, well, have you and Mommy done that? And I said, yeah. And then she got even more excited. And then she asked about her little two-year-old brother, Sawyer. What about Sawyer? Well, Sawyer, you know, he's still pretty young. He's got to learn. He doesn't really understand everything. But, hey, you get the opportunity to help share that with him. And she got excited about that. And then she said, but what if he never accepts Christ? We had to have another difficult conversation that was not fun to have. But she had that passion, not just for herself, but already outside the box, thinking of other people, that may not know Christ, people that if they died would be separated from him if they didn't accept him. She had that in her eyes. She had that passion, that fire, and that excitement in those five-year-old eyes. And if you've lost that feeling yourself, you've got to go back to the start. You've got to get back to that moment. Whether it's your relationship with your spouse or a dating relationship, a friendship, or your relationship with God. Whether you need just a good reminder to just kind of stay the course you're on, that you're really kind of you're rocking it out, you're doing a good job, just to stay the course, or that you might need to make a few little minor tweaks here and there, or maybe you just have to do a massive overhaul of your relationship. Whatever the case is, let's go back to the start. Let's rekindle that fire and that passion and that love and that excitement that we had at the beginning of our relationships with our spouse, with our boyfriend, girlfriend, with our friends, as well as in our relationship with God. Do it before it's too late. Like my guy that wrote the blog, do it before it's too late. Let's go back to the start because it's worth it. It's worth it. Let's pray. You know, maybe you're